Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Not at all. There's a pop-up left side. Back goes the shortstop, third baseman, left fielder, and the catch is made. There's a collision,
oh boy.
And Tyler O'Neill seems to be hurt. And also down is Rafaela. They're both on the ground now. Tyler O'Neill's in a seated position. And
yeah,
Rafaela's still face down.
O'Neill, I think, took a hit in the head.
And they want, right away, they're calling for trainers
yeah,
and towels.
Yeah, I think he's bleeding. I think... Yes, he's bleeding from the forehead, it looks like.
This is so tough. For the rest. It's Raffy. Raffy hit his head. It's Raffy and O'Neill. That's a major collision between those two.
It's a nice baseball team you have here in this city. I can't believe anybody would be dumb enough to buy in on the Boston Red Sox this year. It's a real shame. They lose 6-0 to the Guardians today. That snickering you hear is Megan Ottolini alongside Adam Jones. A bit of a late start today with the Red Sox going a touch long. Good job by Arkin hustling through that postgame. A good performance by him, unlike the Red Sox who get blanked again.
They're not flip switchers.
And the defensive miscues are really piling up to the point where they're getting each other hurt, Mego. Like that, they're so out to lunch, and they're so disorganized and inept. They're now injuring each other. I mean, Devers is just wandering around, how deep out into left field, and just clunks right into Tyler O'Neill. They're lucky three guys didn't collide like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, the latest is O'Neill had 8 stitches, and he's in concussion protocol, which is, you know, just great. Because that's the guy who has 14 runs through 14 games. That's one of the only guys that's, like, producing.
He's got 7 home runs.
Offensively. Yeah, he's tied for most home runs in the MLB. He's one of the only guys who's producing right now offensively for your team, as you see in an outing like today. But it's fine. Hopefully he'll get through concussion protocol quickly. I mean, it's ridiculous. The clown show.
It was a clown show, and it's been a clown show. They had more errors show up on Friday night. They had them all last week. They were out there again today. That wasn't the only defensive miscue, by the way. They were kicking around the next inning as well. Cassis can't field the play. Abreu's off the mark from right field. Hamilton can't handle it on one hop. The Red Sox feel largely clueless out there when it comes to their defense, which is something through the first week of the year I thought they had changed. And silly me, same manager, lot of the same talent out there in most cases, and same guys screwing up. So why would I expect anything different? I don't know. I don't know anymore. But they continue to make these mistakes, which is a big factor in what was, I don't want to call a completely ugly weekend. They did take 2 out of 3 in their matchup with the Angels. They won that series. They've now split their last 4, if you want to look at it that way. They're 9-8 on the season. And we're asking you, what's the worst look for the Red Sox? And this will take a minute to explain, but you can vote at Jones and Mego. You can jump in here on the phone, 617-779-7937. We're starting off talking Red Sox. We'll get to the Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, all that later on in the show. Number one is self-evident. You just heard it. Guys running into each other, errors piling up, defensive miscues. Is that the worst look for the Red Sox? Is it the empty ballpark? Now, my understanding is it was more full today, but Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe had a screenshot yesterday. Fine day, lovely day, Sunday afternoon, you're at home.
Holiday impending.
Thank you. A lot of people are off on Monday, school vacation week.
Tons of tourists for Boston Marathon.
Place is empty. Empty on Sunday, right? People in town for the marathon, and it's empty, okay? And we know largely they haven't been selling out Fenway Park to start the year. So is it the empty ballpark, the lack of interest? Is it Kenley Jansen crying about the baseballs and the pitch clock, among other things? We'll play you some of those comments coming up. If you're unfamiliar with them, just know it's a player bellyaching about not just the pitch clock, also the physical baseballs they're using. So more whining from Red Sox players. Maybe we can lump in Tristan Casas there as well, crying about Ted Williams' red seat over the weekend, which he feels is a myth, and I think he might have a case. Or is it, and this, to me, probably goes and should go right to the top of the list, is it John Henry and Tom Werner skipping out on the funeral of Larry Lucchino? The same man they, I guess, pretended to honor at Fenway on opening day. Sean McAdam wrote about this. He said at the private funeral for Larry Lucchino, three former governors, the current mayor of Boston, and Bill Bradley, among many others, were in attendance. Conspicuous by their absence, Red Sox principal owner John Henry and chairman Tom Werner. Henry was reportedly feeling ill, McAdam writes, while Werner was said to be in England. McAdam then adds, but given that Lucchino was their partner for 13 years, served as a team president for three World Series titles, and was most responsible for the renovation of Fenway Park, would have been nice for them to pay their respects. Which I'll co-sign on. I'll also add, they were there on opening day. They were all here in Boston.
48 hours before.
They were all here. So, Mego, I think I know your answer. What's the worst look for the Red Sox among many over the last, 72 hours?
Skipping Larry Lucchino's funeral is a disgrace. That is the kind of thing that is the definition of disgraceful. As McAdam just wrote there, that's somebody that you worked with for 13 years. And you got the sniffles, so you can't go. So apparently, Linda Pizzuti-Henry, she, as McAdam writes, had the grace and decency to attend. Like, to me, that's just about being a human being. It's not even about how you present yourself as a businessman or somebody who runs a team, an owner, ownership group, wherever your priorities are. Like, that's being a human being. Even if you kind of hate the person, and I'm not saying that there is animosity between them point.
Why else would you skip?
Because you don't care. I mean, that is like the lowest of the low. You always go to a funeral. You always go to a funeral. That is like baseline humanity. I can't understand that. That is a terrible look beyond anything baseball related. That's just a bad look as a person. I think it's gross.
Gross is a good word for it. You know, Ryan brought up, and maybe this is, again, the counterpoint to what you were just saying. When I say, well, why wouldn't you think there's animosity? Ryan brought this up. Maybe John Henry's just so detached. He's just so detached. He didn't think anybody would notice, anybody would care. It wouldn't be a big story, which I guess is possible. Who knows what that speaks to? But it is gross. That's the right word. John Henry and Tom Werner, you can't even be bothered to show up.
Like, you're in England? Okay, because you can't find a way back?
You were here a couple of days ago. As Mego just said, 48 hours ago, you guys were here. And you couldn't be bothered to go. And so I remember, you know, 10, 12 years ago, when was Johnny Pesky's funeral? I remember how pissed and outraged fans were that the players skipped out on that. And that was an unlikable team, chicken and beer and all this stuff. They skipped out on Pesky's funeral on their off day in September or August, late in the year. And fans were pissed. I don't know that there's the same affinity for Lucchino, who could be gruff. I grew to respect the work he did over the years, but in real time, I didn't appreciate it either. Maybe fans don't feel as strongly about him as they do Johnny Pesky, who was, you know, all-time Red Sox, played here, coached here, managed here, was still here assisting at the end of his life. And so maybe it's not viewed quite the same, but it should be. It's about as bad as that.
Dude, that is a gross thing to do as a person. I'm sorry. Like, you work with somebody for 13 years and you don't go to their funeral? That's disrespectful to their family. Like, if I'm the family and you send me a big thing of flowers, I'm like, get these out of the church. Like, this is not okay. You don't show up. Neither one of you shows up. Your wife shows up for you. Like, that's bad,
yeah.
Jones.
She brought all of his germs. No, so I agree. The worst look is that. I mean, it speaks to either John Henry doesn't care, or John Henry is detached, or John Henry is just burning it down. Like, whatever it is, that's the worst look. And so I agree. For the sake of argument, though, the defensive miscues are just unbelievable with this team. And they look like a high school team. They look like a little league team out there kicking the ball around the infield, running into each other, injuring each other. Tyler O'Neill is in concussion protocol and needed how many stitches? Eight?
Yes.
Eight stitches, because Rafael Devers is just, in his first game back, out to lunch, trotting around, headbutts Tyler O'Neill. And that's after the Red Sox had already given up a couple of runs. Like, fortunately, it didn't come back to bite him all that much in that scenario. But the defensive miscues, to me, that's a horrible look for this team, and something that I do think, when you want to apply it to the team on the field, is a big contrast from the first week. The first week of the year, they looked well-drilled. They look improved. And I was giving Cora credit for that. But if I'm going to give him credit for that, when they backslide and look like they did last year, I'm going to look at the manager and go, how come your team can't field? How come they don't know how to call one another off for a pop fly? How come they can't throw to the right base? How come they don't back up bases?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one right now.
How come they can't do simple things that little league teams should know how to do? On some level, yes, they're untalented and it's a bad roster. On some level, that's a poor reflection on the manager, who we'll talk to on Wednesday here on WEEI. But again, you can vote. A lot of options for you. And right now, I think the right answer is the runaway answer. Skipping out on Larry Lucchino's funeral is the worst look for the Red Sox. John Henry and Tom Warner not attending. The empty ballpark is in the running. It was very empty over the weekend, more full today. Defensive miscues are on the list as well. A ton of those piling up to the point where you're literally injuring one of the hottest hitters in baseball. And some of the players' comments as well. Kenley Jansen crying about the baseballs. We can lump in Tristan Casas crying about Ted Williams' red seat and how it's fake. You can jump in on all of it. 617-779.
I kind of like that one. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Now, gross is the right word for it, Mego. It is gross. And the way the team has been playing, I know they just won 2 out of 3 against the Angels. Largely a gross product. And I thought the first week of the year there had been strides and improvements there, and it turns out there aren't. They look exactly like the team they were a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a couple different pieces, mostly guys that you've removed from the roster and shifted around a little bit, but the defensive struggles are mostly the same. You're without your shortstop again. You're trying to move guys around and just patch it together in the meantime. And the thing that I keep going back to is the fundamental mistakes that they make defensively. Because I don't understand how you don't correct that from last year to this year. What the hell was Devers doing in the outfield? I mean, really? Like, what was he thinking backpedaling all the way back out there? Like, when is that the play? You can say, okay, like, Tyler O'Neill should have been calling him off. Yeah, he probably should have, and maybe he was, and maybe there was a miscommunication or something. But why was Devers doing that?
I mean, I don't
know. Like, why? He's been in the major leagues for how many years now? Like, why does he think that that's the play to go for?
I didn't think he had the range to even get out there.
Yeah,
no. It's because they're poorly coached. And or the players just don't care, or Cora's message isn't getting through, or whatever it is. I didn't think he had the range to get out there. And I imagine O'Neill was calling him off. I haven't heard it, but I imagine he's calling him off. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's not locked in enough. And again, all of that is a reflection on the manager,
right,
in some way.
Right, because that's different than somebody like, I think some of the errors, and we can even just say like poor decisions because they're not recorded exactly as errors, that Casas makes and that Devers makes, I kind of put those in a different category than what Abreu's doing or a David Hamilton or someone like that. Like that you can look at ownership in the front office and just say those are guys that should not be out there,
yeah,
day in and day out. Yeah, they're not everyday players.
David Hamilton is not a big
exactly
leader.
Yeah. And so you're like, okay, it's like getting mad at your dog for peeing on the rug. It's like, well, that's what it does, okay? That's what a David Hamilton does. He pees on the rug. But you look at somebody like Casas and Devers, and you're like, no, why are you still making these poor mistakes? Why are you deflecting a ball off your glove? Like, why can't you execute the simple stuff?
Yeah.
To me, that's more about discipline, coaching, some bigger picture stuff than just pointing to the roster and saying, well, they didn't spend, and so this is what you get.
And maybe...
I mean, they're trying to spend on Casas, and they did spend on Devers, and these guys are still making mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the answer is as simple as no one cares about anything top to bottom. That would include the product on the field. That would include spending on the team. That would include attending the funeral of a longtime partner of yours, team president, for 13 years with the Boston Red Sox. And they elect not to do that. So you can vote on the phones. Let's hear from Cora real quick after the game on the collision with Devers and O'Neill.
Robbie stayed on the game, so did he go through a quick
comment? No, he was good. He didn't have to. Yeah. He didn't have to.
It was all that play.
They call it at the same time, probably. And they I mean, it's what in this game we talk about communication and all that, but you know, when there's 35,000 people in there, it's hard. And there's two guys trying to make play, and they run into each other.
Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
So what? They're trying to make a play so we can't get mad at them? No, again, you're still making these mistakes. I want to say 2 weeks into the year, 2.5 weeks into the year, but it's the same mistakes they were making last year.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We're talking about now a year plus, two plus years of
and
this
also,
ineptitude.
It's also not like Rafael or someone who you're like, oh, maybe that's a little bit of growing pains. Like, this is your star.
Right.
Who's backing up his big dumper into the guy who's producing for you on offense. Like, what's going on here?
And Tyler O'Neill is 28 years old, and Tyler O'Neill has been in the big leagues for, what, this is his seventh year? So it's like we're not talking about a couple of rookies out there, to your point. 617-779-7937. What's the worst look for the Red Sox? There's a lot to choose from. You can vote at Jones and Mega. We'll get to your thoughts here on the phones. How about John?
You have, no matter what.
How about John in New Hampshire? Get us started, John.
Yeah, the worst look for the Red Sox is an easy one for me. That's the fact that Bobby Dalbec has been in the organization now for 4 years. He's literally batting zero. It's as if, you know, the ownership group is experimenting. How bad of a team can we put on the field and people will still pay for tickets, still take Instagram photos at Fenway Park, and it maybe won't impact the business? I mean, to say his at-bats are not competitive, it's an understatement of the century.
Yeah, he's not a good watch. I agree with all that. How far can ownership push it? Are they already pushing up against it, impacting their business model?
I think they are already pushing against it. I mean, look, they're still depending on the Fenway experience. And now you look at, I know it's just one tweet. It's just one screenshot from Pete Abraham. But that Sunday should be a day that it's so easy to get people to the park. You know, it's like a relatively nice day for April. It's the day before Marathon Monday. There's tons of tourists in town. What else are you going to do if somebody in your family is running the marathon the next day, especially if tickets are cheap, other than go over to Fenway Park and take in at least half the game? Like, it should be just the easiest game to get people in the stands, and it's at least a third empty.
Yeah. It was only 33,000 today, which is like close to full, but that's not even a sellout. They even sell out today. And so I'm with you, Mego. I think they're brushing against it already. And last year we saw it. We saw it firsthand with that Dodgers parade, with Red Sox Yankees tickets on sale for a buck. I mean, we saw it last year. It impacted the business model. And ownership didn't care to make any changes. I could have sworn they would make changes this offseason.
Some of the days that we were leaving last week, I think it was the middle game against the Orioles, when we were walking down Lansdowne Street, that was the most dead I've ever seen it. ever before a Red Sox game. And again, I know it's like, you know, losing the home opener and then going to that game, and it's kind of cold and it's kind of gross out and it's very early in the season, but it's like, it's still supposed to be Fenway Park. It's still the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, Patriots Day. Like, that feels like an easy day to sell out the ballpark, and they didn't do that today.
Sweet Caroline.
Let's go to David in the car. What's up, David? Hi, David. Hello?
Oh, tough stretch for David here. When he calls in early, he's never ready to go.
He's not. How about a different David in Florida? Go ahead, David.
Hey, first of all, are you absolutely 100% certain that those two bozos did not attend Larry's funeral?
I mean, that's what Sean McAdam wrote. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't there, but yeah, that's what McAdam wrote.
I mean, I got a better word than gross, reprehensible. I mean, how do they explain that? I mean, Now, are you there?
Yeah, yes, we're here. I know how they explained it. They explain it as, and reprehensible is a good word.
They explain it with illness in England.
Yeah. My agenda was flaring up again.
Tom Werner couldn't possibly cancel a trip to England. I mean, the guy doesn't have enough money. I mean, you know, he's just like everybody else. He's like every other working stiff out there. I had this trip planned for so long.
I use miles on this trip.
I can't possibly, you know, move anything around. I mean, Tom Werner doesn't have the means to rebook a flight to England. It's like, you know, much different scale, but Jonathan Kraft. When they have a problem at Dunder Mifflin, he can't be there when Gerard Mayo is getting introduced. I mean,
yeah,
he can't possibly.
The elevator's out.
He can't possibly reschedule.
He's got to wait for the maintenance guy.
So the same thing. The same exact thing. And John Henry had the sniffies. Although Linda decided to attend, so I don't know. She has got John's germs all over the place.
Fit is a fiddle, that one, let me tell you.
So I don't know. That's how they explained it. And so do you think it's animosity, Mego? Do you think there's something up? Or do you think it's what Ryan said, where they're so detached, they just figured no one would notice and or care?
I don't know which one's worse. So like, I don't know which one to choose because I think even if you have a really,
I know what's worse.
If you have a really complicated relationship with somebody,
you still go.
Like you show your face at the, either at the wake or at the service. I'm not saying that you go through the entire thing, that you go to lunch, that you there, you like are giving your condolences, hugging people, but you show up. I mean, I really do think that that's like baseline human behavior. And to not even show up between the two of them.
Yeah.
Neither of them can go. England is not an excuse.
No, and neither is the sniffies. Sorry, but it's not. And so, no, the worst is if it's personal animosity and they couldn't be bothered to show up. Steele there? Did McAdam write about that? I didn't see any headlines on this. Like, there was personal animosity there.
Right.
So, look, I love Theo. I wouldn't think very highly of Theo if he skipped out on this. And it would make Henry and Werner look even worse if Theo, who had, like, real animosity with Larry
and
Lucchino.
And it's also, like, I don't know. This is all my personal opinion, but isn't it also about the family at the funeral?
Yes.
Like, when you're going and you're just trying to offer support to somebody's family going through an incredibly difficult time, the man had been sick for a while. And so you go in, you show your face and say, hey, I would rather be here to think about the good times and the three World Series that we had together and all the good stuff that we did together, even though it was complicated at times. And like, we're the Red Sox organization is always here for you. They honored him at opening day, like at the home opener. They honored him. And then they didn't even bother to go and do the human being thing of being there as a person at the funeral.
I mean,
that is so phony.
It takes more effort from fans to show up and watch this dumb baseball team than it does to go to that funeral. Like, I have to sit in my seats for 2.5 hours while you guys can't score any runs and you clunk into each other. I would put in more effort as a fan to go watch your dumb baseball team than it would have taken you to go to this funeral. And you couldn't be bothered. So you can vote. At Jones and Mega, what's the worst look for the Red Sox? Skipping Lucchino's funeral, which Henry and Werner reportedly did. The empty ballpark over the weekend. More defensive miscues to the point where they're getting injured, hurting each other. Or some comments from Kenley Jansen and Tristan Cassis. The players becoming very impatient and very babyish. You can vote again at Jones and Mega. You can dial us up on the phones, as some of you already have. But it's time now for our weekly look at who's circling the drain and who's leading the league, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Who's leading the league this week, Mego?
Okay, this is a bit of a technicality because the Celtics locked up the number one seed weeks ago at this point, but the New York Knicks secured the number two seed in the Eastern Conference yesterday with a thrilling overtime win over the Bulls, and I think that they deserve a little recognition because Christian Arkan's hero and personal boogeyman Jalen Brunson finished with 40 points. That's the
another 40-point game.
11th time this season that he scored 40 points or more. New York now awaits their opponent from Wednesday's game between Miami and Philly for the play-in tournament.
Okay, so that's who's leading the league. The Knicks, number two seed in the East. Jalen Brunson, scariest player in the East, according to 2/3 of this show. Or half this show. Let's lump
in Ryan.
I don't
know how people shower.
50% of the show. I stand with Arkan on that one. Circling the drain, how about any golfer not named Scottie Scheffler pooping their pants yesterday up and down the golf course? Oberg, my guy, Morikawa. Why am I blanking on who else it was? Oh, Max Homa hitting it right into the deep brush there. They couldn't even find his golf ball. All of them pooping their pants. It might not have mattered. It might not have mattered because Scottie Scheffler was that locked in. But that's who's circling the drain. All the ugliness at the Masters yesterday. I watched. I wanted to be entertained. I wanted it to go down to the wire. And they couldn't even bring themselves to compete. Scottie Scheffler's there. He's about to have a kid. He's like probably out to lunch half the time. He's not even paying attention. Like Rafael Devers running around in the outfield, wondering if his wife is about to have a baby. Meanwhile, he just keeps birdieing, knocking it right down the center of the fairway. He started a little rough yesterday. Right down the center of the fairway, birdie, birdie, birdie. Everybody else poops their pants. That is who's circling the drain. Presented by Drains by James.
And he's having a baby.
He is indeed. I'm saying I don't even know how focused he was yesterday, and he still ran circles around the field to get his second green jacket. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback, and we'll also get into the Boston Bruins. Do they need to avoid the Tampa Bay Lightning? Bad news. If they do, I think they're in trouble. We'll get to it next.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take Jones and Mego wherever you go. Just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, play EEI, play Jones. This is Jones and Mego.
Yeah, I hate Jones, Alexa.
On WEEI.
Big win for Boston. Back on top now of the Atlantic Division. The tradition after the wins, the goaltending duo of Swayman and Ullmark. Now a team with several strengths. That's Boston's best hope to win the Stanley Cup right there. The outstanding goaltending duo likely to rotate right into the playoffs.
Bruins beat Pittsburgh over the weekend by a score of 6-4. They have two games remaining and an outside shot at the President's Trophy. They also have an outside shot at dropping down in the standings. Either way, that would have them avoiding Tampa Bay, which feels like a bit of a nightmare matchup for the Bees. They play tonight in Washington. They wrap up their season tomorrow against Ottawa. We'll maybe play you something from Jim Montgomery after the game. He really aired out Charlie McAvoy pretty good after a brutal giveaway by McAvoy against Pittsburgh over the weekend. But in the meantime, I want to get to some Red Sox feedback. There's a lot of it rolling in on the text line, 37937. Everybody knows the number. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Mego. No Arcan today. The Twitch chat is already ripping Arcan for not showing up.
Guys, Arcan has other responsibilities. He had to be on air for, I don't know, like 45 minutes. Maybe 45 minutes? 40 minutes?
Well, he did pregame and postgame.
Yeah.
So probably.
He's got to read some ad bumpers.
Probably like a good hour and 15, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so an hour and 15. So he couldn't stick around and do the afternoon show. Absolutely
not. No, I'm thinking he probably went to the game, too. I mean, he was there. He was at the ballpark, right? So he probably, like, took in the game. He watched the game. And then, yeah, now he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, there he is. He's sitting at home.
It's more effort than what Fourier put in today. 10 minutes?
Did he?
I think Fourier, did Fourier do 10 minutes today?
If
from
that.
Foxborough?
That's what
oh, yeah.
Is he Foxborough Fourier?
I think he drove in.
I believe
no.
I heard on Friday Fourier was going to be doing like the Gresh was off, I believe. Fourier
okay,
was,
so Fourier did more.
Yeah, so
he went above and beyond.
Gresh is still in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, Arcan, is that where he is? Was he taken in the fights over
yeah,
the weekend?
It was at the
yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Gresh loves doing family vacations in Vegas.
When it comes to effort level, I mean, Arcan, it was Herculean compared to Fourier, who at least showed up compared to Gresh. Maybe we shouldn't get on Arcan, but I'm not going to discourage the Twitch chat from doing that. A couple of texts, 37937. Guys, I disagree about the funeral thing. I think a funeral should be reserved for family and close friends. I think that's the one tweet we got from maybe John Henry, maybe Tom Werner, you know.
And send!
Whoever, you know, one of their
I was just checking.
Assistants.
Guys, Boston 25 had a live stream of the funeral. It was a massive, beautiful service in a local Catholic church, but it was not just like an intimate gathering. Yeah. There was a correspondent from the Washington Post who was there. Like, it was a big, big service, and they didn't show.
Yeah, and if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, Sean McAdam wrote over the weekend about how John Henry and Tom Werner skipped out on Larry Lucchino's funeral. It's part of our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mega. What's the worst look for the Red Sox? A lot of options. Skipping Lucchino's funeral, 55% of you feel that way. 24% say the empty ballpark on Sunday. They didn't even sell out today. They were 33,000 today, which is good, but not a sellout on Patriots Day when, you know, school vacation week, people are around for the marathon. It's a signature day to go, and they still couldn't bang out the ballpark. Defensive miscues got 20%. Those are embarrassing. And some of the players' comments between Kenley Jansen and Tristan Casas, we'll play those for you coming up later on in the program. That's getting under 1%. So really, it's a three-horse race right now. You can continue to vote and dial us up on the phones at 617-779-7937. Here's a few more of these. I went to a funeral for someone I hated, all caps. They are trash. So good for you out there on the text line. A wedding you don't like the person? Don't go. Send a gift. Funeral for someone you don't like? Too effing bad.
You don't have to send a gift for a wedding of somebody you don't like. Like, you don't have to do that.
If you are invited and you don't go, don't you kind of, have to send a gift,
I think you usually should, but I don't know. Like, especially there's certain times when you're in your 20s and you're invited to like 8 weddings a year and you're like, I don't even talk to this person anymore. I'll send a gift, but it's going to be like a Venmo, essentially. Like, happy for you. Here's $100.
Yeah, what's the cheapest thing on your registry? Also another text, big time dirtbag move to skip a funeral, which I think a lot of us feel that way. Having to go to England, Tom Werner, or feeling a little under the weather, John Henry, not a good enough excuse. So I need a better excuse than that. And I want to know, was Theo there?
Because I'm efforting to find out, but I don't see any more details.
If Theo was there, they look even worse.
Charles,
and guess what?
Steinberg of the WooSox.
Okay,
was there.
Guess what? If Theo wasn't there, I don't think very highly of Theo for skipping out on that. And that's a guy who had real animosity with Lucchino. Theo should have gone. Never mind these two. Glenn is in New Orleans. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, I'm far away, so the Lucchino thing is grotesque.
Okay, but so me, Glenn, I got to be out. We got to put you back on hold. You used the word grotesque. Let me put you back on hold.
You sound like you're in Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah,
right,
we got to get you to a better spot where you
I
have
like
better service.
I like that word, though.
Grotesque?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the word that David in Florida used earlier?
It's beyond gross.
Did he say disgusting?
Reprehensible.
Reprehensible, thank you. That was the word. And Mego said just gross, which I do agree with. Can I hear, because we teased it, can I hear Monty, his explanation for ripping in to Charlie McAvoy after the game? If you missed any of this over the weekend, again, the Bruins win the game, but McAvoy has just a soft giveaway. You know, he's lazy in getting back. And at the time, you know, it's a game, right? The Bruins are set up. They're on the power play. McAvoy has the giveaway. And ultimately, it winds up going the other way. And it's Logan O'Connor, I think, who gets the goal and makes it a one-goal game. It's like a huge giveaway. McAvoy, the cameras caught him, is getting ripped into by Montgomery after the game. Yes, Mego?
Really quick. According to WCVB Channel 5, Theo Epstein was there.
Yeah. Even worse look for them. Ryan just winced. Even worse. Theo and Larry did not get along.
Sam Kennedy as well.
Okay. Good for Sam Kennedy for being there. Good for Theo being there. It makes Henry and Lucchino, Henry and Werner, rather, look even worse for not being at Lucchino's funeral. So, again, this is the brutal giveaway by McAvoy. Montgomery tries to walk it back after the game, but he ripped into McAvoy pretty good.
You were none too pleased with the play that leads to their shorthander. What were you saying to Charlie?
Well, it wasn't just Charlie. It was, you know, me giving it to everybody on the power play. Like, there was just no cohesion. The passing was off, and I didn't like the effort getting back after the turnover by everybody.
Okay. This is the only thing I take away from that, Mego. We've said before that Montgomery is maybe feeling the pressure on the hot seat a little bit. We've joked about, if you're mean to these players, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get you fired like they got Butchie Cassidy fired. So that's the only thing I want to read into with this. Is this another example of Montgomery feeling the pressure, feeling the expectations as we inch up on the postseason. They end up winning the game, but at that point, that felt like a big swing goal in a game that, instead of going up by three, they cut from a two-goal lead down to one. I think he was feeling it a bit there.
I think so. I don't have a problem with it because, one, it's McAvoy, who I think is not a Jake DeBrusque, just to name check, about somebody who is going to get you in hot water. But I also think, like, if you look back at the very recent history of the way Montgomery has talked about his team or acted with his team, like, it was just a couple weeks ago that he has that practice where he basically makes everybody just skate sprints, condition the entire practice, and then they go on a 4-game win streak. So maybe if it's not constant, but if he can pick out particular events and say, like, you guys are dogging it here, and maintain that focus with certain guys, I'm okay with it. Like, I do think that he's feeling pressure, though. How could you not, compared to what you did in the playoffs last year? Like, it's so close. You've been waiting so long to get back there. It's been up and down a roller coaster since the All-Star break, and now here it is. I'm sure there's a ton of pressure.
Okay, so do they need to avoid Tampa?
I think they should. Like, I think it's scary. I agree with you. I think that's a scary matchup. I think ultimately you're more talented than Tampa, even though they have a little bit of star power offensively. Your goalie tandem, whatever the hell you're going to do, at least statistically, is a lot better than theirs. But at the same time, like, that looks like a 6 or 7 game series to me, and one where they could, I almost said edge you out, but I guess, yeah, edge you out. Yeah, out. Out is doing a lot of work in that sense.
Look, they should beat Tampa, but that's the worst matchup they can get. And they could still drop their final two games. Florida would need to win their matchup. Do they play tonight or tomorrow to leapfrog the Bruins? That would knock Boston down to the number two spot in the Atlantic. You get Toronto. That would be ideal. They could also go all out for the President's Trophy, but they'd need help from the Rangers. The Rangers would need to lose in regulation. The Bruins would need to win each of their final two games. So there are ways to avoid Tampa, but I think they're locked in. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937, along with our big question of the day. What's the worst look for the Boston Red Sox? You can vote at Jones and Mego. We'll also get back to the Patriots. We have a visit from J.J. McCarthy. He was out to dinner with the Patriots last night. He's visiting in Foxborough today. Are the Pats playing games at number three? Is this a smokescreen, or are they really in? We'll get to it next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.